What it do, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, in the bowels of the Crayola factory. The red of, man, I don't know. I don't know my colors. I was gonna try to be clever. This is the Freestyle Storytelling Podcast starring two Mystic Juggalo Weebs.
Vermilion.
Vermilion, coming to you from the Vermilion sphincter of the Crayola factory. That should look tight.
Dude, I was about to say the Vermilion factory. Yeah. I've been running around with a kid all day, so my brain is fried. But yeah, no, the Crayola experience is awesome. And our spring break fell, I think, after the Dallas Metro spring break. So every place that we've gone to during the day hasn't had anybody in it because everybody's at work and kids are at school. The only place that had kids in it was when we went to the zoo, and it's because they take the kids on field trips to the zoo. So there was still rugrats running around. But at the Crayola experience in Plano, Texas, I mean, it's great. You get to learn the history of crayons. You get to make your own little paper wrap for your own crayon. Like you can plug in what you want. So I
So
made
that's where the
one
Gus
called
color
Gus.
came from.
Yeah, Gus color. And I made the other one I made was corn. Just the band corn.
I was gonna ask if you saw any cornflower blue there.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was cornflower blue, so I just called it corn.
Shout out Chuck Palahniuk. Fucking
But they also you can watch a crayon get melted down and then put into a race car mold. They've got air hockey that you play on the floor from a projection. So it's like motion sensor air hockey where you like kick the puck back and forth. And Gus like that a lot. They got a play place for kids to run around. And it's just, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a crayon themed adventure zone, basically, or like Chuck E. Cheese, but with crayons.
Hell
But
yeah.
no people running around in crayon outfits, at least not on Tuesday morning. Maybe they just didn't show up that day.
No employees selling drugs, running back and forth from behind the
Well,
counter.
I don't know about that, but
No.
no, it's like you got any of them white crayons?
You gotta.
You got
What's
any of
up,
those
bro?
black tar crayons? Do you have any of those meth crayons?
Yeah,
Just be like,
just this.
getting less and less subtle as
There
they
you go. How many white
go.
crayons you need? Oh, like a zip? Like a
Yeah,
zip of
I'm
white crayons? Yeah.
yeah.
Hey, let me get a couple ounces of the green shit.
Yeah, the green hits, the green slaps, dude. Man, just getting just eating crayons in the middle of the. The fuck are you doing? It's like, oh, you guys don't know about the real Crayola experience.
That'd be a
You gotta eat
wild
the
way to
crayons.
ingest LSD or to smuggle it. Just send
In
it
crayon.
as a crayon molding. Yeah. 'Cause you know they do that
Yeah.
shit. They've painted like Virgin Mary statues and shit with LSD. And then on the other side, I guess you melt it off or something. I don't know what the fuck you do.
You just reminded me of this TikTok I saw of this dude, is like this crackhead on a bicycle. He's like going real fast, and he's got a Virgin Mary statue strapped to his back, right? And like somebody's filming him from their car, and he's fucking going down the road, having just, I guess, stolen the statue. And he like looks over at the car, and then he just like rear ends a taxi at full speed. Oh man, I watched that thing on a loop like 10 times. It's so funny.
That's good
Oh
shit. It's when
yeah.
you see shit like that, you understand the vignettes. I got burned out on vignettes. That's why I got really into like plot heavy shit. But you understand the vignette style whenever you see shit like that, and you're like, how are you gonna make that make sense? You just gotta like throw that in somewhere.
No, it's just funny. We went to the Dallas Zoo today, which is pretty cool. They have hippos. So the hippo, swim past the tank. All the kids scream
Oh
because the
shit.
hippo goes by the tank. They also had this thing called the dinosaur experience, which was pretty cool. It's like animatronic dinosaurs, kind of like a Jurassic Park type thing. That was pretty cool. Gus was cool with all the dinosaurs, but he didn't like freak out. But you can actually see in the picture, like the T-Rex, because he's watched enough baby shows where it's like the T-Rex had the strongest jaws, and it's like, T-Rex eating another dinosaur. So like when he looked at it, he kind of like he was like, "Are you sure about that?" He's like, "Watch out, Dad. You might not
He's
want to
like,
get too close to that thing."
I've heard about this motherfucker. You
Yeah, it's
don't
the deadliest predator the world's ever produced. So I trust you. I trust you, but be careful.
So
But
Dallas Zoo takes the stance that dinosaurs were real.
yeah, it's problematic, but still entertaining,
Did I recently heard about somebody who was like, dinosaurs is that's a made up thing. It's like, prove it. Oh, it might have been. Were y'all talking about it on Lost Explorers, actually?
Maybe because when I started teaching Jurassic Park, a lot of the kids said that. A lot of the kids were like, "How do we even know?" And I said, "Well, we don't, not really. Because I don't,
I mean,
I'm not going to lie to them. It's like
yeah.
there's a huge conspiracy with the museums, like with the Natural History Museum, where it's like those bones that you see aren't the real bones. Those are replicas of the bones because apparently the bones are too fragile to be put on display."
Which would
So
actually make a whole lot more sense, and which would actually make me believe them more.
yeah, the conspiracy about dinosaurs not existing. I know this because Contbot, who was like a Twitter creature, was talking about this on his podcast one time. He said that it's to make people think that oil is a finite resource rather than something that the earth continuously produces. So if you have a backstory for where oil comes from, right? Dinosaurs melt down and become oil, which also that's a shitload of dinosaurs if you think about it.
Yeah,
Now that I think about it, it does kind of sound fake, doesn't it?
that's what they mean by fossil fuels. Like it comes
Yeah.
from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I don't
That's when
know
there's
about
that
that.
dino. Yeah, I don't know about that either now. I'm kind of thinking that seems
I'm kind of like dinosaurs were real and we're never gonna run out of gas. But also we should stop using gas because I've been running on diesel for a while and I don't really know the difference because I'm not that I don't really care. But I've been running on diesel for a while, and that shit lasts a whole lot longer.
You
So,
did you see that guy? There's a guy in the 1970s. He lived in El Paso. He's 26 years old. I can't remember his name, but he was in Time magazine. Like he made the cover. They were like, "This guy just revolutionized the world because he figured out how you can go 200 miles on a single gallon." And that motherfucker overdosed on drugs like 3 months after being on the cover of
I mean, that's how
Time.
he was running. He wasn't driving.
That's it. That's it. But
That's how
no,
you
they
go.
there's another dude who was on YouTube, I want to say. It's a dude with a mohawk. And he was showing, like, it's still there. You can still find the video about how he uses like water filtration or something to get 200 miles out of a single gallon in the back of his Jeep. And he got suicided also. So it's like people keep kind of figuring out how to do this, and then they always
And they
die
die.
right
It's
after
kind
they
of like
figure it out.
how Nikolai Tesla just died, for having the best ideas about energy.
Yeah. Oh, people figure, I mean, like the kind of what I was thinking about this in my car today, because going around Dallas, Houston's got to be the same. I don't know how people did that shit before GPS, right? Because we had to switch road, like highways, like five times, and it's all this spaghetti, it's just a bunch of spaghetti bowls.
Dallas, I have no fucking idea. Dallas is the worst. Houston, I used to do Houston all the time without like way before GPS. So
But you just, I mean, so this GPS, right? This is going to be a little JDO science for you, right? Your phone is pinging a satellite in space. That satellite is triangulating your position based on where you are relative to the nearest tower, right? Like it's kind of doing a it's a triangle, right? I know they'd be triangulating.
They be
And
triangulating.
it does
So
all this
it's based on how
instantaneously.
close your balls are to your asshole.
Oh,
That's why you're
okay.
supposed to, that's why your GPS works best if you keep it in your pocket.
Oh, that makes total sense. That makes total sense. Now, it does all that instantaneously. So it basically knows exactly where you are. That's a crazy technology, right? I mean, we have that, but we can't figure out how to get 200 miles to a gallon, and you know, all these little things that we supposedly could, we just can't do it. I have no idea. We could cure cancer. We don't know how. We can't do it. It's like, yeah, I doubt that.
Yeah, I have a client who recently got diagnosed again with a cancer, had it, beat it, and got diagnosed again. And so I asked her, it's kind of like well, so what's the plan now? She was like, oh no, I'm just gonna speak to a dietitian. I was like, let's fucking go. I was like, hell yeah.
No, a lot of people, this is a probably a better conversation for Glenn and Si to have, but like
Yeah, welcome to Rare Candy.
I they talked about how people make fun of, you know, Steve Jobs for going on like a smoothie health kick when he had cancer. And they're like, oh, did he die? I forget what their take on that was, but people like to use examples like that. Like Kathy Acker is another one. Remember Kathy Acker, the writer? She did like Pussy King of Pirates and oh, what the heck.
I didn't know that was the name of one of her books, but I remember Kathy
Yeah.
Hecker.
Yeah, she does like she did like mashups. Really cool books. Anyway, she got cancer and I think she did like the health food thing and she died and people are like, "Oh, well, there you go." And I guess that if I can remember correctly, this might be a JDO original, but it sounds like Rare Candy, so I'm going to go with them. But it's like, and then you ignore the millions of people who die after
I was gonna
chemotherapy.
say that's like majority of people who microwave themselves, step into a
And then die.
microwave, and go bald and die. Yeah,
Yeah.
like I don't.
So you
It's
guys
like
have three
ooh,
solid examples. Yeah, you got three solid
owned.
examples of people who died doing the other thing. So I guess maybe you're right. And how many people get saved by doing chemotherapy again? The 6 year percentage is zero because 5 years later the cancer comes back and you die. That's your prognosis if you have cancer and you do the chemotherapy thing. But anyway, I don't know. There's not really a good rebuttal to that kind of stuff because if you go live with your homemade cancer cure, you'll either get put in jail or they'll suicide you.
Yeah,
So,
you'll get got. Those people with
yeah.
the vegetables, they actually were assassinated.
With vegetables too,
Yeah.
it's crazy.
Yeah, they just injected it with extra Roundup.
Yep.
I know some people. I'm working on a remodel, a pretty major remodel right now for some that's why I had to do the blue light, 'cause I'm red as shit right now. I'm like so sunburned. But they're working on flipping this house to sell it and move to this giant property they bought that they gotta like tear trees down and all kinds of shit. But they're gonna like raise cattle and shit and just be completely self-sufficient. Was like, that's what's up.
That's tight. That's tight. That's the dream. That'd be so cool. It'd be so cool to be able to do that. I mean, I'd probably hire people to do it, but
Yeah, it's like
it's
full time.
cool
Like my
idea.
dad's been a ranch hand and he was like that was a dream of his for the longest time. And he was like was kind of like the Eastern European the dream pipeline is crazy. My dad was like, I want to be a ranch hand. And I was like or I want to operate heavy cat machinery. And then I was like, I want to be a taxi driver, maybe a painter. Those were like my
Yeah.
childhood
Taxi driver or a painter.
dreams.
Think as a kid, I think as a kid, I wanted to either be an archaeologist or an author. Those were the two.
Well, there you go. You're just living the dream now.
And I just solved dinosaurs, and I'm writing books, so
Yeah. And you're still in
dreams
my
do
dream
come true.
too. Going to learn how to paint and shit. How much do you need? If I see you in a taxi, I'm gonna be like, bro, chill.
I just drive to work in a yellow cab.
Get your own dream. Just rub it in, why don't you?
It's like, dude, I saved up all this money, and I think I have this idea for a show. Yeah, it's going to sound a little bit similar to yours. It's going to be called The District.
The dish.
I'm going to get Oklahoma rappers to be, yeah. Kelby's just like, And now you die.
Now you get vegetables.
You get the deadly vegetable.
Kelby sent me a veggie basket. He said, "Congratulations on the district." That pilot script slaps. Eat your broccoli.
So anything going on in the world of writers this week? What's going on in writing world?
Oh yeah, people are really mad about an anthology with some
I heard about this,
with a couple kings in it. Yeah, when
yeah.
I
What's
it's
going on?
weird. Like I didn't hear anything about it, but it is crazy because I heard just over the past weekend I heard the name Patrick McDonough or whatever the fuck his name is. And they were like, "You know this guy?" I was like, "No." And then somebody said the name of his podcast. I was like, "Oh, that guy. Yeah, he seems annoying and lame." And
Can you write the name of the podcast in the chat just so that I
oh,
know what it is?
it's Deadhead Space. Yeah, I don't care about the being
Oh,
fake shit.
no. I just was, if you didn't want to give it airtime, but that's cool.
I'll give
I've
anything
heard of that
airtime.
too.
People are grown
That's the
adults. You can decide to
one
listen to
where
that garbage if you want.
it looks like it's like a white, it's like a dude with a beard,
Yeah.
right?
And he's like, ah.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. That looks like fat Kratos.
Yeah. Fat
Yeah.
Kratos. That's what it is. Yeah. The Fat Kratos podcast. That's what you should have called it.
God of more food? I don't know. I try.
God of engorge.
Yeah.
God of
I don't
war. Oh.
Oh man. But what's going on? Why are they mad? I don't understand.
he's a predator allegedly or something,
Oh, I see.
whatever that
Yeah.
means, which is I'm not defending him. Like I said, I already say he's lame and fat, so I'm already like, yeah, fuck him too, I don't care. But I don't really like to go around just throwing allegations at people I don't know. Maybe a lot of people think he's a or say he's a predator or something, whatever that means. And that's kind of my dilemma with the whole thing, because there's people on this anthology, like this anthology got like Chuck Palahniuk. He's running a
Oh, cool.
Kickstarter, which I imagine is to pay these people who he somehow got to
Has to
sign
be.
on. And it's like, so he's running a Kickstarter for this anthology that's got Chuck Palahniuk, Joe Lansdale, Brian Keane,
Dang. It's pretty
yeah, a
stacked.
lot of, oh, it's that. I mean, that's just the off the top of my head. There was like 15. Mostly major. I don't know. It was kind of a mix, and there was a bunch of people. I was like, I don't know who that is, but yeah. It and people are mad that like these people are in it, I guess, and that they have from what I understand, a position of where they're. Silence about him. I really don't know. I'm not entirely sure what the whole beef is. They don't like that dude. They don't like Patrick McDonough because he's weird towards people. He makes guests feel uncomfortable, which by all means. And my thing is like, if I have pulled out of anthologies for that reason before, where it was like oh, this dude's kind of a creep who's editing it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna take that story back. I don't want the affiliation.
Sure.
And that's just, I mean, so I'm definitely not against. The whole thing made me realize that we already know we're at the end of the woke shit, but being at the end of it means like some people are going so hard in the other direction that it's like, I don't know. I can't wait for the whole thing to just fall apart and move on. Like,
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that something like this is even going on, you know? Because it just, I don't know, it feels very 2018. You know what I mean? Like, feels like
and there,
a
'cause
5 years ago thing.
there are people who are hardcore, like, oh, well, he's always been nice to me or whatever, or you know, you can't believe all that, saying the kind of things they should have been saying at the very beginning of, like, way back in like 2014 era, whenever the fake ass Me Too shit was going on. But instead now they're like, well, I don't know, he's always been nice to me, and I don't, you
Yeah,
know.
kind of weird when that shoe's on the other foot, right?
Yeah, right. And it's all, that's the thing, is it's all coming from people who, like, on both sides, the people who are mad at him, and he himself is like a giant ass lib. And
Of course, yeah, because they all have something to hide.
everybody involved, like everybody, it's on all sides, which I think is what has me so, like, brain tied about what exactly is going on, because I'm like, y'all are exactly the same people, and that all of you would be mad at agitator.
Well, and I mean, that's kind of the our rule about this hasn't changed for years, and it's just all you really have to do is wait. Because it does seem to me to be that the people who are the loudest about this are the ones that have the most to lose, you know? I mean, it's human nature. It's unfortunate, but it is human nature that when you are dealing with a lot of like guilt about who you are as a person, you're gonna try to kind of push that guilt onto other people, you know? And you just see it repeated over and over and over again, where it's, you know, somebody who gets online every single day and has some crusade that they're on against somebody. Fast forward a year, and somebody's like, "Hey, you want to know something about that person?" And I'm like, "I can guess. It's one of three things, and or all three at the same
Or all
time.
three, yeah.
Call that the hat trick, yeah." But
The
I
Mr.
mean,
Hat trick.
but I don't know, man. It's just and it is, but it is really funny, obviously. That like,
It's the whelp who cried wolf.
yeah,
Or
it's that, but it's also just, you know, people had no, when they have no skin in the game, they'll jump right in. But when they do have skin in the game, like being in an anthology with a stacked, what do you call it? Roster? Stacked roster. All of a sudden, they just, and the thing that drives me, well, it doesn't drive me crazy because I don't really care. But the thing that could drive a person crazy is just the silence about it, right? Everybody just gets quiet because they know it works. They know goldfish memory. So they just clam up and don't say it. Like when this psycho dude or whoever it was, right, was posting like old tweets. Remember a few
Oh,
episodes ago, we talked about those awesome old tweets from people. You just don't hear anything from those people at all. Like they just don't say anything.
don't say shit.
And it works, you know? But we figured this out a long time ago that it doesn't have anything to do with actual principles or morals. It's all just a game. So nothing will come of it. It'll probably just keep right on going, I would assume. I mean,
You
why
ever
would it
think we'll
stop?
get back to the time where, like, writing is not seen as a community? It's back to, like, this is an industry. And so, like, The editor of this anthology is a terrible person. It's like, okay, I don't care. Chuck Palahniuk is in it. Like, this is gonna boost my visibility. And they're like, well, doesn't that go against your principles? No, my principle is to be seen and be read and make money. Like, that's like, so you support what he did. I don't give a fuck about who he is. No, I don't
No,
care.
I think that'll start happening as more and more people start to understand that that every single author is their own startup, their own small business, and that they want to grow by any means necessary. And I think that the rise of self and like truly indie publishing or self-publishing, honestly, at this point, will
That
do that
collective,
because
the collective model is catching on. I even saw
yeah,
some
it
people
is.
who are kind of on a similar wave, like at Ghoulish Fest, that kind of
Oh.
did their own shit plus some other people. I was like, you're catching on. Yeah, you
Yeah.
get it.
Yeah. They're just about there. Because I think that, when you are, let's say you're running an actual, I was about to say actual business. Writing, of course, is an actual business if you treat it that way. But if you're running a different kind of business, and you need your distributor for your product, you don't care who those distributors are. You know what I mean? Like, wait, hold on. Before we sign this deal with this Coke distributor in Dallas, say, who runs this?
Oh man,
Are they a good
yeah.
person?
I had to deal with so many different like working in cabinet making. Like, there's so many different sales people and distributors and all this shit. That's like, you meet with these people and some of them wild as shit. You're like, you went to
The Wild West.
Cambodia and did what now? All right, well, how much is that glue tank again? Can I get it by Monday?
Exactly. So it's like, I think that what this really comes down to is the very unfortunate and persistent equivocation of writers with celebrity and thinking that those two worlds have anything to do with each other, which they do not. They do not. Writers are not celebrities. And as soon as we can start to look at them as business people and artists, sure, right? Artists, but not, celebs, I think that'll start to click for people. It's like, oh, they make something that I enjoy. Now, I mean, of course, I don't think that that'll ever go away because there are some people who are truly terrible, but
Well, you can separate, like, I don't know. If more people, I don't know. I ain't nobody's dad. Well, I am, I'm my kid's dad, but that's it. Like,
was gonna say, I was
I
like,
do what
wow,
like, I think
fair
there's
enough, dude.
yeah, I think there's a few little tummies that would beg to differ, but
But you see what I mean? Like, what's always annoyed me about writing culture in general is this kind of pseudo celebrity kind of like clout game that's going on. And once you shift from that into it, no, I want to sell books. I want to find readers. I want to sell my book to them so that they can buy it and finance my next book and put food on my table and maybe even up my lifestyle a little bit, like that's the real goal. So there's people who fall into that camp. Those people are like you and me. And so this kind of stuff just sort of swirls around and we see it and we go, huh, talk about it on our show because it's good content. But it's not really affecting because that's not the game that we're playing. Like we see that there are 330 million potential customers in America. And so like this small piece of a pie just really doesn't, I mean, we can go to any street corner in America right now and sell 50 books a day minimum just by barking at people. You know what I mean? Like we have a product that we have become very good at selling.
I've thought
And
about that recently too, actually. Like
you
selling
could.
so well in San Antonio just to people
You could.
like the
You could go
way
to a fucking
Max and
farmer's market,
Lori
dude.
got people in was by putting up flyers around the city. And everybody who came in, like every other person, I was like, see y'all locals? They were like, yeah. Like, we wandered in off the Riverwalk. Oh, we saw the sign at such and such. Oh, we read about it in the paper. Oh, we this and that. I was like, damn, all these people just from San Antonio. So
Yep.
yeah, I could just go out on
Who
a
are
corner and
not a part of this like weird, incestuous, strange, backbiting Game of Thrones type shit that you and I left years ago. They're just people, and you can talk to them like people and sell them your book, and then you can just
And
keep doing
reaching
that.
those readers, does that not make more of a difference than caring who the it's like this weird it's incestuous, that's a good name for it, but it's also like this playing as much as they don't want to treat their writing as a business, they sure act like they have a boss. It's like, oh, well, you work for that guy? No, I just put some, he gave me money. I put some shit into this thing. And you got to have your own personal balance. Like I said, I've pulled shit from places before where I was just like, it was weighing it out. It was like, honestly, this ain't big enough for me to like just hitch my wagon to this dude and be like, nah, I'm good, bro. I'll
But if
take
you were
that
in this
back.
one, you'd just be
If I
like,
was next to Chuck Palahniuk, that's, you're not gonna tell me shit. You'd be like, I would be like, yeah, Patrick McDonough is the fat Kratos. And also I'm keeping my story in this anthology. Already signed the contract that
I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, for me, I mean, anthologies aren't really my thing anyway. I don't really have any interest in anything where I'd have to put my shit in front, like in somebody else's control. Now, I totally understand the reasons why somebody would do that, like a big press or something like that. I get it, right?
Now, I saw how an anthology should be done though, because Michael Tichy, he was pushing next to our table at Ghoulish. So we chopped it up, we kicked it quite a bit over the weekend. He is pushing that Unheimlich anthology from Soyos Books. That shit looks clean as hell. Like I was like, oh, if you're gonna do an anthology, don't just grab a bunch of names and throw him in there. Like he threw out a couple of names that were in there that I was like, oh, word, but I already forgot because I only cared about the book. I was like, make it an art piece. If you're gonna do an antho, you should more care about the product than like, let's get all these names attached to it. It's like, nah, make a badass book. That book looks metal as fuck.
I gotta check it out. That sounds good. That
It's
was
tight.
Ghoulish, by the way.
Ghoulish was great. We sold over 100 books.
Shout out to Max and Lori. That's really incredible work. Genuinely good work
And
that they
everybody,
did.
I was asking people, like I said, Tishy was right there. He was selling left and right. He you know, every time we tell each other, I was like, I'm up to this now. And he'd be like, I'm up to this. And it'd be like double on my end, but I'm pushing all of our shit. And I told him, I like, he'd say, you know, that's 35. And I'd be like, that's 70. He'd be like, damn. I'd be like, bro, you're pushing your own book.
Yeah, selling
I know,
35 of your own book is
like,
pretty insane.
that's crazy.
In a day,
Yeah. In a
that's wild.
day, because in one day, Saturday, I sold 70 books just Saturday. Yeah, it was nuts. Kill to
That's cool.
reading. I read from, I was reading on Sunday after I'd already sold out of a lot of shit. So Eddie just sent a fuck ton. I pushed mostly Eddie's shit, which says a lot. You want to have like a wide range of shit to sell because you never know who's going to come up to the table. It's like, well, I'm working on vampire things. People are into vampires. It's like, it's just write everything because there's so many people. You're going to hit a market for something. And he had like Eddie just has a lot of shit right now. I mean, a lot of our table is Eddie. More of it would have been Grant if Grant could keep stock of things.
That's Grant's perpetual problem at AWP. God's leftovers, he brought two and they sold out in like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
First two people who walked by, they
as
looked at it,
soon
they were
as we
like,
got
I
there,
want
yeah.
that book. And I was just thinking, oh boy, if he had brought 30 of them, he would have sold out. He brought
Cannibals,
maybe if he
really.
brought like Dude, cannibals are huge.
I
People
don't.
love cannibals.
People love cannibals. That's why by the time I kept saying this is about cannibals in a Russian gulag, and that sold out in like the first 5 hours of being
Boy, are
there.
they going to be disappointed when they find out that it's the last 5 pages and it's not
I
even, yeah. Oh boy. Oh boy.
don't care. It's
I had a
about
nut.
selling.
No, it is about selling, of course, but I, that actually, I'm going to use the podcast to talk about something. So I had an idea that I threw out to the chat, and it was actually more well received than I thought because I was playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. And I like how in Final Fantasy VII Remake, the original Final Fantasy VII exists, right? It's like a timeline thing. Like Sephiroth has moved to like a different timeline, and he's trying to like change things in the past so that the original Final Fantasy VII doesn't happen. But it's still real, right? It's just like a alternate
Do you
universe
play
thing.
both, or do you just play the one timeline that
You
looks
play the one timeline.
okay?
You don't actually play the original game. But I was like, it might be fun to go back to by the time and do that, where like the book by the time is a book that was written by the throat parasite character's throat parasite, and just do something like different with it, and actually like take it would just be interesting to kind of like take what I've learned in the intervening 15 years and do something new, and then like be able to have those two books side by side, like by the time and then by the time remake, because I've never seen it. It feels like it's people think that it's like bad form to do that with your books, but I think it's kind of a cool experiment. I mean, why not? Could be
What if it
fun.
was
Sell them
a
together.
Black Gum book? What if
Yeah.
the narrator in Black Gum is the like has the throat demon and who writes this shit?
So he wrote, wait, so he wrote by this, the one who wrote By the Time is the guy from Black Gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that.
Which literally is
I mean, yeah,
the
that is true. But I just, yeah, man. I mean, however I end up choosing to do it, I think it would be different, you know, and I would be able to take things that I've learned about plot and actually, because I guess the idea kind of struck me because I been thinking that I'm looking back on that book in particular and I love it, but I also like there's a lot of stuff you can do like with that, with the gulag and cannibals and you know all the weird magic shit that's going on in there. Like there's a lot of potential for that narrative, and it's a very thin book, right? I think it's
It'd
like
have a
35
completely
pounds.
different effect and a completely different tone, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think I just think that would be cool. Also in writing it, buddy. What do you want to watch something different? Hold on.
Oh no, I'm watching the baby camera too. That little shit better stay asleep. Though he helped rack up our YouTube views on the last one, I think. People were like, "Oh, baby." And
Yeah, babies are good, but not when they talk for extended periods of time while I'm in the middle of talking.
no.
Doing it in the hotel room.
Oh, and shout out YouTube. I guess subscribe to us on YouTube, even if you don't watch over there. Most of you don't, but hey, maybe. I don't
But
know.
do it. Do
I
it
saw the
anyway.
numbers you have to hit in order to monetize, and I was like, I just kind of use YouTube as a storage, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
But what else in writing news? It's so hard to think while I was talking.
you're riffing off the by the
Oh
time and
yeah, the
then
by the time thing. Oh right. So I woke up from a dream a few days ago and I told you guys about it. But I really do think that I want to collaborate with everybody in Broken River by the end of the year. But the big part of this, the big news, right? So I'm working on Ronin Trash, and I have God Spare No Better. But I think for like standalones, I think that you and I are like the perfect, like we've started doing this thing. on the podcast where we riff and kind of write a whole book
We
in
have
the
a
space of the
complete
episode.
outline. Yeah. Like a pretty
Yeah, yeah.
detailed outline, more than
Pretty
just
detailed
like
outline.
little beat here. It's like, no, we throw in some little details and character specifics and have a full outline by the
Right.
end of the within 10 minutes.
We started getting feedback from people that would listen to these episodes, and they were like, "I would read that book. Like that sounds like a really." And we were kind of like, "Well, it's just like." And then I thought for a second, I was like, "Wait, we have the podcast. A lot of people listen to the podcast. What if there was a product that was directly related to what we do on, so the podcast feeds into the books and vice versa. Like that just that it makes total sense. So I feel like you and me as a writing duo, like Skip and Spector back in the day, right? I think that is the future for our writing because I've been doing all this plot type stuff and you are more like the kind of like visual tactile the sensory prose type dude. And I think that that complements itself well. And I also think that we can turn the podcast into just us. Like it could be like a full writer's room, still talking shit too, right? Because that's the agitator brand and that's just what we'll always do. But like instead of every episode coming up with a new thing, we could be like, all right, here's where we're at with Dust Bowl sarcophagi. Like we just wrote this bit. Now let's work out what we're going to do for the next week,
It'd
writing
be
wise.
interesting too, like live development. You heard our outline, and then it'll be like, well, in chapter five, we kind of hit a wall with this, and we introduce this other element or whatever. He's in Florida, and now he's stranded. Something. I don't know.
And
They
so
got
now we have to
rodeos in
like kind of
Florida. Bro, if they
they
got
yeah.
rodeos in Florida, it's like.
They got everything in Florida. They got everything in Florida. So yeah, I think that I just think that it's a really smart idea to directly tie the podcast like into the books because I think number one, people think it's really interesting to kind of like hear writers talk about writing. That was one thing that back in my kind of like grumpy punk days, I was totally wrong about because I
Yeah,
was like, why is
writers don't
everybody.
like it, but I don't give a shit. I only care about readers.
People love like they love the making of type stuff, especially if you're aspiring to do what we do, you know? I mean like get little gems here and there and you kind of start to you see it through or I guess in this case hear it through osmosis. And you just kind of like, oh well, JDO and Kelby do it this way, they do it this way, they talk like maybe I'll go get my buddy and we'll riff back and forth and because I think that's it, dude. I really all the writing advice in the world is can be great, but like at the end of the day, I think you need somebody to bounce your ideas off of, like 100%. Like I don't think that this kind of thing can happen in a vacuum.
Yeah, and you just need a like Broken River's real blessed. Like if the best advice I can give is just follow the template. Like look at who we are, how we interact with each other, the Broken River as a whole, and just like, well, don't look too deep into how we interact with each other. Y'all ain't allowed in
No, don't look at
the
the
chat. But
chat.
yeah, you have to be really tight with somebody. It can't just be like, I'm a big admirer of so and so's. It's got to be your homies. It's got to be organic. And you got to keep it tight. Don't expand that shit. I don't know. And I know, especially, and you kind of start getting the, once you get locked into that business model, you also do kind of start thinking like, well, okay, I see these other small presses failing, but what if we did an anthology? It's like, stop.
Stop.
No, don't.
Stop right there. Don't do it. Don't do it. No, don't do that. Don't bring in a whole bunch of other people. I mean, there's so many out there, dude,
The name
that
of the
they'll
moment, bro. There's so many big writers in indie publishing that's always, it's like a, it's just a revolving door. It's like, who now? Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. But no, I think that the like once you have a good thing, the trick is to not. I mean, In-N-Out, the burger chain, didn't expand out of California until very recently, and they're 75 years old. It's a completely different idea from, McDonald's is basically a real estate company. They franchise the restaurant itself, and then independent people operate it, same as Subway. But like In-N-Out kept it small. They kept it, made sure the quality stayed the quality.
Chick-fil-A, they
Chick-fil-A.
franchise, but you have to operate within there. You have to come from the ground up. They will only sell if you used to work like sweeping the floors.
It's stuff like that. I mean, it's just a different way of doing it. And I think that if you, I think the major thing, and there have been a few presses, I think, that have pulled this off. But a small press attempting to act like a big press doesn't work. It's not going to work. It's never
Not
going to
unless
work.
you get a lot of money behind that
Yeah, unless you get a lot of, because that's the thing, dude. It's money. It's money. So like if you
bitch.
if you basically anytime you see something really working, it's because money was put into it, which is fine. I mean, that's not a dig. I love money.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. But
And no,
like,
I think to I think, you know, we do need big publishers to still exist,
of
to just
course.
have a I don't know. I guess we don't, nobody needs it, I guess. I don't know. But
No, it's good. I
you.
mean, that's all good. I mean, it's a place for people to go, right? It's basically when you start to see the world through like Neo's Matrix code, but it's all dollar signs instead. Everything makes sense, and all bitterness just like kind of floats away because you realize like the scales fall from your eyes, and you realize it's all money. It's all
Yeah,
money,
it's all
right?
good.
It's all money. Everything's money, and if you are somebody who wants, a press to publish you because you think X, Y, and Z is going to happen, you're going to beat your head against the wall. And that's fine. You can do that. But I mean, if you think that getting a press means that they're going to, not just pay for your cover and give you a small advance, but that they're also going to pay for advertising or send you on a book tour, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, which is something that's man, it's so hard for people who are extremely talented to understand that that is worth it, because they're always like, well, this loser did it and look where he's at. Well, read his book. It's kind of trash. Like, you gotta have the good dope.
You got to kind of know what you're doing. That's another thing I think that a lot of people don't really want to talk about is keeping a beginner's mind. Shoshin is really important, and just constantly learning and trying to get better. People pop out with like two books, and I think that they think that they have it figured out. It's like, I mean, I did, but I didn't, if you know what I mean. I had a lot to figure out.
It
And so,
just, I think it just stunts your growth. 'Cause looking back, like you weren't wrong, but I think it just
I just
stunted
had other things to learn. I
some
just had other
growth.
things to
Yeah.
learn. Yeah, it was like, it was just, I was really, I could dunk. That's, you know what I mean? Like, I could dunk.
Yeah, and
It's like,
Broken River
what
was
else
on
can you do?
fire when I jumped on board. It was running full steam. Heathenish did super well out the gate. And I was like, just catching that fire. I was just like, oh, we in there. I dominate this bitch. And yeah, I think it's just stunted growth. That's it. It's not like we
I think
started
you just,
wrong. We just had to.
I think, yeah, everybody has to cut. Yeah,
We're
I'm
just
totally honest
toddlers
with it.
smoking cigarettes.
Monkeys. Just, yeah, I'm a monkey smoking cigarettes. But I think that, no, as long as you eventually begin to learn two very important things. Number one, everything is money. Right? Think about everything in terms of money. It starts to make sense. I'm telling you, it's the key. And also that
And
you
when
just
people
continuously have
think,
things to learn.
they're like, oh, so you just write for the, well, no. If you put money at your fore at the forefront of your goals, you will write better. You will care about your book even more, because readers want quality at the end of the day. Like, sure, they make compromises. They're like, well, books are trash and they sell like crazy. And so, well, a lot of readers make compromises. They're like, there's things they don't really care about, like the quality of the writing itself. But they're like, it was a good story. Yeah, it was entertaining. That's what a whole lot of people like. Give them that
They
plus good
do.
writing, and you know what they do? They don't go, oh, this sucks because it's good. They were like, this is a great story, and the writing's beautiful. It was great. It's a bonus.
Yeah, that's it's just a little bow. Yeah, I finished reading The Will of the Many, which is like so long, such a long book. But that book is just pure information, dude. I mean, there's nothing, there's not one beautiful line in that entire book. It's 250,000 words. I liked it. I liked it. I'd give it 4 stars, I would say. The plot was great. Some of the twists that he did and, upping the stakes, secret double agents and,
So you sent that a picture of one of the pages where it was like and suddenly the stakes were much higher. It was like,
Oh yeah, that
oh.
was from Congo. That's from Congo.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay,
that's
so well, Crichton is another one who I was gonna say is like, I wouldn't say he's really not a stylist,
No,
but he's
it's and it is
also.
totally backwards, right? It is totally backwards because like the thing that most people care about the most first is plot and story, right? And that's why, I mean, I've had this discussion with people like Keaton 100,000 times where he's like, how are these books so terribly written and cliched and they do so well? And it's like, because they're doing the one thing that people actually care about, which is telling a good story. And he's
And
like, but
people want
what if I
to
do something totally different and new? I'm like, you heard absolutely nothing I said. You're an animal who's on autopilot and you're not hearing what I'm telling you. But like, I think, yeah, I mean, even with something like Whalefall, which I think had a really good story and some banger ass writing, I think you can do it a little bit too much. And it turns some, you can see some of those reviews. People are like, some of the writing got a little, they call it bad, right? It's not bad. It's great.
Yeah, oh,
Fantastic. It's like
it's when it gets
five
too
stars.
heady, hard to
Yeah.
understand.
It's hard to
There's a
understand.
bunch of
Yeah.
dumb people, like,
Yeah.
I couldn't follow it, so it's bad. It's like, well, you probably couldn't follow it because it was good.
Right. But I mean, you and I mean, like, we could listen to music and we could be like, I don't know about this song. And the people who know music better could be
Oh,
like,
exactly, bro. That's like,
what
people
do you
who
want to
want
listen
to.
to? What do you want to listen to? You want to listen to Beyonce? I'm like, kind of.
Well, people argue forever about how technically and objectively great Taylor Swift and Tool, and then I'm like, I just it doesn't hit.
Meanwhile, Perfect Circle is superior to Tool in every
Perfect
way.
Circle over Tool and Project Pat over Taylor Swift. I couldn't think of another
Hey,
Swiftie-esque example.
any Project Pat reference is good in my book.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it's really not hard to understand. But yeah, so those are the two. I think this is an exciting new way to do it because I also saw how fast Eddie and Kyle were writing the Shattered Stars books because Kyle lives in China, and so Eddie's able to write a chapter, send it to Kyle. Kyle can read it and write his chapter while Eddie is asleep. So they have kind of a cool time zone thing going on, but the general gist of the idea is still awesome. I mean, it's like you send it to somebody else and get part of the story that you're telling back from this person, and then they get part of the story that they're telling back from you. And you feel, I mean, we wrote Dead Boy in what, like 5 days or something like
It
that?
was like
Like,
three. Because we had
yeah,
a
it was
phone
quick.
call on Thursday and we were like, okay, boom. Basically, what we do on the show now, we were just like, so here's the story, boom, 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 boom. And the only thing that kind of threw a wrench in it was I came up with an extra character. And then I was just like texting, I was like, hey, this guy's in it now. You're like, all
And I
right.
was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll
And
put that in there.
then we just like, by Sunday, we had our halves, and then we just weaved them together, did a little bit of surgery, like, and boom, it was done.
Yeah. And I think there's all these just barriers that exist, right? Like you can't be two writers. You have to just be one. You have to be this one guy. Why? For what reason? Doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, like, We tried to
Ooh.
do a Broken River, like all five of us, and that was a little bit unwieldy. Like five
Yeah.
is too much, but
Yeah.
like two is perfect. You're just a duo. You're the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
Except,
So
guys.
the next step is yeah.
Yeah.
Especially one way to kill your ego is to just go start selling in person. 'Cause you see how nobody gives a fuck about the, well, okay. They care that the author's name is on the book when they make the connection. They're looking at it and they're going, "Wait, you're the person who wrote this?" And then they go, "Oh shit, I want to buy from you," because they think you're just a vendor. And then they're like, "But the part of it that kills your ego," so I guess that strokes your ego a bit, but the part of it that kills it is people are just looking at the books. They're just like, "Oh, what's this about? Oh, that sounds cool." And so you start to just care about, like at Ghoulish, my reading, since I'd already sold out of my shit, first day. So I mean, there is something to say about the author. There is a bit of that, like, you know, but I was just trying to push the rest of what we had. So I was like, well, at my reading, I'm not gonna read my shit. I'm gonna read something that's down there on the table. So I grabbed one of Eddie's and Kyle's books and read from that instead. And people were like, holy shit. And what's crazy is they didn't even assume that I wrote the book. They were just like, that thing you read was really great. And when I told them, oh, cool, you know, it's Eddie and Kyle, they collab under this pseudonym, and they were like, oh, that's cool. They weren't like, oh, you didn't even write it. People don't really care. They're looking at the story. And when you
It's a neat
realize
thing.
that,
It's a neat thing if the author's there. It's neat. But it's all ultimate. I mean, like, we were there for, people will turn your book down also if you're there and they don't
It's
want to
like,
read it.
hey, I
They'll be
wrote
like,
this, and they're like, all right,
that's
cool.
cool.
What was this one about again? It most
Exactly.
commonly happens to me with Rios. Like, I'll be like, here's, that's my thing, actually. And I'll give a little bit of background on it. And then they'll go back to the thing, like, I just pitched Itza. And they're like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get this one. All right.
That happened a
Good.
few times. You're like, you should, yeah. In my book, and they're like, yeah, I mean, I'll look. Yeah, you got a card?
Y'all got a
I'll check it.
website? Yeah. I'll sign up for the newsletter. Let's...
But yeah, I guess that'll do it.
Yep.